Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. In the room, we got Steve Silva singing off key.
That was a lot of fun. I think they were.
Amber Ashby Carey also singing off key.
I love this song.
Producer Zach is in the room doing what he does best. And I am Sean Roberts, and together we are your Weekly Dose podcast. And good morning to everybody here in Southern California. And hello, everybody, on Delmarva Talk Radio on the East Coast. Good afternoon to all of you guys. I'll go back to playing the bass.
Play the bass. It's a beautiful... Oh, listen to that.
Thank you so much for joining us today and every Saturday as we pay homage to our favorite radio gods who are now in the running.
They are. They got in the running.
They're in
the
running.
We got more information about that later. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But they are nominated. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's what's happening. You know, you could also remember to follow Mark and Brian, RHOF Radio Hall of Fame, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on how you can help them get into the Radio Hall of Fame.
That's like one of our biggest things. We just really want that to happen. And hi, guys. For those of you who are new and recently followed us, thank you. And those who are our faithful listeners, we love you more. Or do we? Do we?
We'd like to find out.
It's close. Oh, that was a close call right there.
My papers.
We are so glad that you listen to the show, that you listen to us, that you tolerate us and our insanity. And if you want to hit us up, message us, drop us a comment, a little, hey, hi, we love you, hey, we don't like you, F you, I don't know, anything you want to do with us. Any kind of message is fine.
You done?
On the Facebook, on the Instagrams, on the Twitters. Yeah.
All right, cool.
And the LMNOP.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we got a cool show for you guys today. Of course, we'll be talking to you about Mark and Brian getting into the rock and roll, good God, the Radio Hall of Fame, making sure that they got nominated recently. Great category. We think they got a great shot getting in. We got a past moment from them. We got lockdown pick-me-ups. We'll be talking about Carl Reiner's last performance, the passing of the great Charlie Daniels and Ennio Morricone, who was two great musicians. Amber's going to let us know about things that we didn't know the purpose of.
I like that one.
And, of course, we've got The Neanderthals Part 3.
Riveting.
All right, crank the song.
Oh, yeah. I'm digging this bass you've got here, Sean. It's beautiful.
I have no idea what notes I'm playing right now.
Let's get funky with it. Slap that bass.
Start it all over again.
In the interim, don't forget you can interact with the show commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Your Weekly Dose One. Find us on Facebook or email us at Your Weekly Dose One at gmail.com.
Yes, and you can download the show for free, my favorite word, from our website. And you can also subscribe and listen. Thank you, that was coming out. Through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, blubbity bloobity bloop. My favorite's iHeartRadio. I love that one. And Spotify, but yeah. So just search for us, Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, you guys, please rate and review the show. I say this every week, but is anybody doing it? Is this thing on? Check. Is anybody doing it? Have we got any good reviews or...
I don't know. I'm playing the bass right now, so I'm
okay,
concentrating on that.
But, you're busy.
But
you're
no,
busy.
We have. Steve and I got to talk to a listener recently.
Oh, that's right.
Patricia Hart. Very nice.
Patricia.
She called us and let us know
Patricia.
That one of our links was down a bit. It was to Tina Anderson.
Oh.
We double-checked it, and I think Tina was redoing her website is what it was. Everything's working perfectly now. So, and then we called her and got to talk to her, and she enjoys the show. So,
hi, yeah. Patricia.
So, listen to Patricia. That's, so, thank
that
you so, so much.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Virtual
yeah,
hugs.
Fun. And of course, right now we are playing Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes.
Well, you're playing.
That too, yeah. Because it's National Cheer Up the Lonely Day.
Which is every day for me.
Yeah.
Oh, is that?
So we figured, well, Owner of a Lonely Heart, what a great song to do that with. And of course, as always, you can get any of the music that we use straight from Amazon.com. Don't forget to go to our website and click on our Amazon banner. And not just get music, but anything else you want from there for shopping purposes. It's easy to use.
Because Jeff Bezos needs more money.
Exactly. All right, crank it up. I'm going to play bass again.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, this is the part I don't know.
Oh, okay. Improvise. Go ahead.
That's pretty good.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Yeah, this is it.
Jamona!
How could you not just... This is like my one of my favorite driving songs. You're driving on the 405 and you're just jamming out to this song?
You shouldn't drive and play the bass. It's dangerous.
No, I don't. Sean might, though.
Hey, keep your hands on the wheel, man.
And everyone looks at you and they're like, you're weird. And you're like,
watch me pick
my nose and it'll be even better.
And this is a great song to also play drums to. Like, if you really want to practice the drums, it's perfect for this too. Because it is a specific type of thing that you need to do on the drums.
So, okay. Noted.
Oh, yeah, he's right.
So. Bump, 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 bump.
Will you give me drum lessons, Sean?
Sure. Come on over. I'll set them up.
Woo!
Back to that bass. Come on.
Oh, can I watch?
You're just a voyeur. Voyeur.
Not very much a voyeur.
Voyeur.
You'd be the voyeur.
I'm the voyeur. You would be the voyeur. Yes. You just want to watch me bang on some drums.
That's right. Bang away, baby.
Oh, dear. And we're in the gutter.
All right. Go. All right, go ahead and make that channel one.
Are we still doing the show?
Yeah, we are. I think
we're going to sit around here like this.
We were just having to come up with one of our favorite songs.
All right.
They just threw something at me. I was like, you son of a bitch.
I threw it behind you.
You're trying to hit Amber. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, big announcement, guys.
My friend just said, who's Patricia? She's a loyal. I'm telling you.
Loyal listener.
She's a loyal listener.
You heard what he said? He said, big announcement, Amber.
Mine was too.
From the desk of Switchboarder Laura. The lady who quarterbacks everything for Mark and Brian and the Radio Hall of Fame. Well done, listeners. You did it again. Yes.
Woo-hoo.
1,500 radio personalities were suggested, and the 2020 Radio Hall of Fame nominating committee has selected Mark Thompson and Brian Phelps for a second year in a row.
Woo-hoo.
Mark and Brian have been nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame in the longstanding local / regional 20 years or more category.
I like that your accent keeps going in and out.
I know. It's kind of fun.
That's huge.
Oh, now you're a Beatle.
Thank you. This time, the 900-member radio industry panel will vote later this summer. So we cannot vote this time like we did last year, which is fine. Because, you know, last time we had Ryan Seacrest.
Do it.
Ryan Seacrest,
God! Yeah,
exactly. God!
in our category. And, of course, we did have a large number of people who helped, but Ryan Seacrest had, like, 15 million people on his Twitter account. So, needless to say, Mark and Brian did not have that many.
Ryan Seacrest is Ryan Seacrest.
So,
he's a monolith unto himself.
So, he got in. He's okay. Fine. So,
you dick!
Yes.
Wow.
So, we are in a completely different category this year. So once again, they are in the category of longstanding local / regional 20 years or more. But what we can do, according to Laura, on helping them out and supporting our local morning DJs, is using these hashtags when we post on social media. That way, everybody on the committee, the 900 panel, know that we are still very active listeners. So here it is. Hashtag Mark and Brian 2020. Hashtag KLOS. Hashtag radio, HOF, and hashtag MNB, RHOF. So those are what we want to use as much as possible.
I just immediately forgot all of them. Huh? They went in one ear and out the other. We'll post them.
They're already posted.
Okay,
posted on the 25-year anniversary page.
Okay.
Also the original listeners and on our page as well, on our Facebook page. So, but we did it again. So great job for everybody on getting Mark and Brian in. Yeah, absolutely.
Wait a minute. What was the last thing you said?
I don't know. I forgot to. We'll have to listen to the show back.
Switchwater Laura. That's all you need to remember.
Oh.
All right, guys. Well, listen, in honor of Mark and Brian getting nominated again, we put together basically we're not really put together, but we're going to give you a classic Mark and Brian bit here. This is when they had Tom Jones in the studio. So I'm going to let Mark actually go ahead and set it up. So, Mark, please take it over.
Okay. Well, as I've been in the past couple of weeks with my retirement on the 17th, I have been reflective with 25 years of this program. A lot of moments, a lot of things that have stood out for many of you, and mine are no different. One of the people that we have had on this program, and we call him friend because he is, Tom Jones. He's been on this show multiple times in the studio. I don't think he ever did. No, he's never done a Christmas show, but he came to be with us at Caesar's Palace when we flung the.
Tom Jones has been on the show.
No, I said Christmas show.
Oh, in the studio. I thought you were talking about in the studio. Yeah.
No. He's been with us on many occasions in many forms. And Tom, when he would come in, was always very friendly and very nice, but. We have always had the ability to kind of break through someone's kind of shell and get them to open up. And though, as I said, Tom was always friendly and engaging and very, very nice, it felt like there was this one part that we just kind of couldn't get through to. And so he was coming in to the studio, and he was sitting in the room, and in front of us, we had a stack of karaoke CDs. One of the CDs was a Tom Jones karaoke, and we handed it to him. And we said, you know, is there one of these that you wouldn't mind singing? And he said, well, how about Help Yourself? So we put the karaoke disc in, and Tom starts it up. And in the middle, we decided that the brass on the karaoke CD needed some help. Tom so enjoyed that. He had such a great time. This stands out for me as one of my favorite moments from the past 25 years. Here we go.
Need some horns.
Uh-oh. Love is like candy on a shelf. You want to taste and help yourself. The sweetest things are there for you. Help yourself, take a few. That's what I want you to do. We're always told repeatedly the very best in life is free. So if you want to prove it's true, baby, I'm telling you, this is what you should do. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they are yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world can never buy what I can give. So help yourself to my lips, to my arms, and then let it really start to live. Oh, my heart had love enough for two. More than enough for me and you. I'm rich with love, a millionaire. I have so much, it's unfair. Why don't you take a share? Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they are yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart. Your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world can never buy what I can give. So help yourself to my lips,
and you know what?
To my arms, and then let's really start.
I mean, listen to his frickin' voice, guys.
This was 7:30 in the morning. How good does he sound?
And
I mean, granted, we helped him out with the brass and had him on key and all.
And this is not a radio station microphone. This doesn't have the echo. He's one of the greatest voices in the history. And boy, did he get a kick out of the brass.
What a cool guy.
And there you go, guys. Just one reason, one of the many of millions of reasons why Mark and Brian need to get into the Radio Hall of Fame this year. So.
And Tom Jones.
And Tom Jones, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he was on the radio a lot.
He was. He was. And another cool moment, too, though, is when Mark and Brian took Barry Manilow into the local Rouse and made Barry sing Christmas carols over the intercom.
Oh, where is that?
It's on the archives.
Okay, we're going to have to.
Yeah, you got to dig it out. But it's in the archives, though, for sure.
I love Tom Jones.
He's got a great. And that was 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that's amazing.
7:30.
Yeah, oh, sorry, 7:30.
Nitpicky little.
But I mean,
over here.
I mean, good Lord, it takes a lot to do that in the morning, to sing that way. So.
It does. I'm going to go find him when I'm in Vegas. Are you? I'm going to go hang out with Tom Jones.
Yeah, I'm just going to go, you know.
His shows are great.
Really? Oh, that's a good idea.
Boy, her voice cracked.
I got really excited.
Wow. So that's what it sounds like.
I can't even do it.
Yeah, no, Mark.
That's my excitement.
Mark has seen him a number of times, and he says, yeah, it's a great show. Definitely got to go see Tom Jones live.
I love that song in particular.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the movie. Oh, my gosh, that movie is one of my favorites. Okay. Sorry.
Well, let's catch up with each other, guys.
I want to go to Vegas.
Aww. I'm going in a few days. Oh, I'll tell you later.
Steve?
Yes?
How was your week, my friend?
Well,
let's put it this way.
You know,
his week's going to get better.
Yeah. It was particularly a bad week for Sean and I. A person that we worked with for a number of years and were friends with, and always was a great guy who was there for you, even though he didn't always want to look like it. He always was.
He intimidated the hell out of me.
Oh, I know. So
especially when I first met him, though. And did you see what I wrote to his wife, though, or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote that. But Blair was just an amazing person.
He was. The person we're talking about is a very dear friend of ours, Blair Bell. He is a, in my opinion, a bandit legend at Knott's Berry Farm.
Bandit legend.
Yeah.
Do you explain?
Basically, when you work at Knott's Berry Farm as a cowboy, you're going to be either working on the stagecoach, dressed in that cowboy outfit. You are going to be either robbing the train, or you're going to become a stuntman. And there's auditions for those type of things, mainly the bandits and the stunt team. And if you're on the bandit team long enough, normally you get to know the guys in the stunt team and you kind of move up. You're on the stunt team for a number of years there. You kind of cut your teeth there, so to speak. And then a lot of the guys from there move up to Universal. Many friends of ours have moved up. Ken Clark has done it. Robert Shook, who has played Freddy Krueger during the haunts there and everything. Dave Perkins.
Does Knott's Berry Farms, I've always did a thing. Okay. Does Knott's Berry Farm have a thing like, why the hell is everybody leaving us and upgrading to Universal? What the hell?
No.
You're just going to get good and leave us.
it's a rite of passage, basically, is what it is.
You have to pass through the Knott's Berry Farm gates.
And Knott's is a gateway theme park.
To that. Yeah.
A gateway to the world of banditing?
To
horror
shenanigans.
for stunt people mainly.
Gotcha. Stunt people, okay.
For mainly. And that's what it is. And Blair was one of those guys who, in my opinion, was the epitome of what a cowboy should look like. He is 6'1", tall, brawny, has a build to him. He had a very much a Clint Eastwood-esque type of look to him.
No handlebar mustache.
Aww. But he looked mean, you know, and just that rough toughness kind of thing or whatever. Like, I don't want to mess with that man. And so he intimidated me because he was very quiet. He did his work and he did it well. But when I found out the side of humor that he had, the dude, oh my God, I could not stop laughing. He would just do some of the funniest and silliest things to the patrons there of Knott's Berry Farm, you know, and the people coming in and everything, all the guests. And it was hysterical. And he was so much fun to work with.
And if you fed him something worthwhile, he would go with it. You know, kind of like Gino would do.
He was an actor himself.
A joke. Okay, so he'd run. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought food. I was like, oh, barbecue?
He affected pretty much everybody he really talked to, and when he came out from under the hat, so to speak, he was a ton of laughs. We had a good time.
Oh yeah, and he had a big heart. He played Santa Claus during the Christmas, so he would grow the beard or trim the beard or whatever, you know. And he did it beautifully. He had a wonderful smile when he did too, you know. I mean, the way he looked, you thought you were talking to Santa Claus.
Aww. Santa.
He also did other characters. Like, he would dress like a leprechaun or something.
Leprechaun, is it?
Or a wizard or something of that nature for certain things. And
so a 6'1 leprechaun? Is that what I'm to
pretty
believe
much
here?
Yeah.
There's nothing more terrifying than not.
Yeah. And he was just a man who had a big heart. And unfortunately, we lost him to COVID-19.
Aww. Yep.
Now I'm at 27 then. That's my...
And that's... so it hit us hard. A lot of people from Knott's came out of the woodworks to pay their condolences to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but like I said, he was a big staple there at Knott's as a bandit. And like I said, he was the epitome of a cowboy, you know. And I was 19 when I got hired on, and I'm 5'10", so I mean, what the hell did they do hiring me for? I have no idea.
You're going to be the new leprechaun.
Maybe. I'm standing next to Blair. Ooh. Yeah, I was. But he is greatly going to be missed. Like I said, he is a wonderful man. I've got nothing but great memories of working side by side with him, you know, and robbing the train and scaring the hell out of kids. You know,
hey, was, you know what's life about.
He really got a kick out of that too.
Oh, he did. He did. One of the funniest things that he would do, because he would just stand there, and like I said, he had that Clint Eastwood look to him. You know, and just that glare. What are you looking at, punk? You know, I'll take you down right now.
22 Magnum, most powerful handgun of all time.
And he just stand there, and especially if there was a group of teeny boppers.
Oh.
Female teeny boppers, especially, right?
Okay.
Hey, I kid you not.
How's it going?
As they're coming towards the train or around the train, because we stood out in front of the train at the time, mm-hmm. and they're coming around it, he would just look at him. Bang!
Jesus.
They would all jump. Oh, and it was hysterical. And he goes, jumping today, aren't you? And that was it. And then just go back into that look again. Uh-huh. You know? And I mean, I almost peed in my pants the first time I saw that. That's when I knew the funny side of Blair.
Aww.
You know? And he was constantly doing stuff like that. You know? And he was the one who taught me about how to get on the train. People would ask, well, where do you go to get on the train? Train station?
Shut the hell up. What?
Yeah.
You know,
so, like, there was a way to get on.
Well, how do we get there? And he'd look at the train, look at the person. What you want to do is you want to go down that road there. And you're going to pass the Reflection Lake. And he would literally make them come all the way around and go through the park. And then tell them, basically, you're going to cross the tracks. And then you're going to come up alongside in between the log ride and the mine ride. And then he would point to it, which is right over here. And you're going to come over here like this, and you're going to cross the tracks, and then you're going to go to the train station right behind me and walk into there.
Are you serious? And they'd be like, okay, sir. And they would just take off all the way around the park.
Absolutely.
And they
would.
We're
going to listen to this Clint Eastwood scary man.
And... And it was hysterical. I'm like, oh, my God, they actually went down that way.
Because
he would just go, Sean, yeah, watch. And sure enough, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And this is what we did.
And the train station's right there.
20, 30 feet away. You know, and we got away with this every single day.
He'll be, oh, my gosh.
Gina and I'd stand out there and somebody'd say, where's the bathroom? And we'd point the opposite directions, and they go, oh, we look at each other, oh, and then we'd both point the opposite direction the other way.
Yeah.
It was fun to do that. We had such a good time, and the guests loved it. I don't say unfortunately, but we carried that over when we were working at Disney, too.
Oh, yeah.
And people were a little surprised at times.
Oh, my goodness.
I was afraid every time I worked with Gino at Disney, I was afraid I was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Because we would go in what the three of us would call bandit mode, which was those things that we got away with at Knott's that we're not supposed to do at Disney, mm-hmm. basically.
Not
you know?
Knott's.
Yeah, not Knott's. But we did. We got away with it at Disney, too. But it was fun, and it entertained the people and everything.
Oh, yeah. The only time I got in trouble with some woman with a kid runs up and goes, what's the fastest way to the bathroom? And I go, run!
Oh, my gosh!
She, for some reason, she didn't feel like laughing that day. And she turned around, I could have thought of that, and storms off.
But you didn't.
No, she went to City Hall.
And made a complaint.
She lodged I got a complaint
called up to a manager,
Steve.
And she had me come in, and I go, what's going on? And she goes, do you remember when some woman asked you the fastest way to the bathroom and you answered run?
What?
I go, yes, I would do that a lot. And she kind of looked at me like,
what?
What? Wait a minute. No, I didn't know I was real. And she goes, well, you got a formal complaint because of that.
You know what she yeah. was?
Are you
what was she? She was an official Karen.
That's right. And so
Karen,
the manager goes, Karen. Now I've looked back in your record of the last, you know, 6-7 years or however long it was at that point, and you've never had this happen before. So I'm just going to give you a coaching. And
Oh, God. They said coaching over there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a Walmart thing when I worked there. Yeah. Are you going to get coached? Like,
it was an official step at Disney.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
demerits.
But those are the things that we got away with at Knott's because I think because of the caricatures that we played, in essence, you know, it was the funny cowboy or this.
Knott's is a
that.
Lot more loosey-goosey, too.
They were. I mean, when the family owned it, absolutely, because it was more entertainment-based, and we tried to entertain as much as possible. And, yeah, we got away with an awful lot, you know, kind of a thing. So, but,
very
yeah,
cool.
So we're gonna miss Blair.
Blair.
Great
Definitely
guy.
Definitely Blair.
Great guy. So, Amber. How was your week?
I've been sick all week. I started getting sick Saturday after the around the party time. We were all hanging.
I know you left a little early.
I was just fading, and I've just had this terrible sore throat and just felt really sick all week. And I went to the doctor, and guess what she told me? Okay, sorry.
You had got a sore throat?
Yeah, I had a bad sore throat from
my
not social distancing exploits. But so basically, my
yes,
I'm improvising. I'm feeling the temperature of the universe right now. Uh-huh. To tell the story.
Here, open wide.
Ah.
Ah, yes, I see it. Continue. Ah,
gross. So I thought I just wasn't sure if I had the COVID. I just wanted to go double check. And so she basically said, "Your immune system is way down. You have not been social distancing properly, have you?" And she gave me a mom stare. And I have been very careful.
No.
We'll tell more of the story later another time. So, yeah, Sean, just hang on to your horses. I'm reading the vibe here.
Yeah.
Riding the vibe.
You weren't social distancing like you were supposed to.
Wink, wink.
But I personally don't think social distancing includes the lips.
What's distancing?
Oh, my gosh. My throat. Wait.
You know.
Nobody kissed me. Nobody breathed near me. You know, I'm better.
Well, not now.
No, you got that, audience?
Better, yeah.
Not now. We're going to kiss you. No way. Not going to use even the French kind.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because that's what you did.
You guys are pansies.
So, yeah, we're not. Yeah. So, basically, my immune system was way, way. Thank you, Zach. That's plenty.
But there gets a charter.
So we're just going to say that you.
Yes.
You tried three different types of coffee.
I've had a.
And one of those coffees didn't agree with you.
Yes. So yeah.
And
the doctor says I got, yeah.
And you got something in your throat.
Yes.
Because
I got a virus in my throat.
You drank this coffee
that I should not have had.
That you should not have had. And we're going to leave it there. Not that it's an innuendo for anything. So, yes. So,
oh my.
We won't be going back to that barista.
I did get my COVID test, but I'm pretty sure that I'm okay.
According to what you told me from what she said, you know, yeah, you're fine as far as the COVID-19.
I'm making a face. Yeah. So, I'm getting better. I've just been doing, shut up. It's been a busy week of.
And a little bit of a scary week for you, though, too, because of that.
Yeah, I was not sure what was going on. I felt really bad. And I was trying to work a little bit here and there from home, and I have a new job coming up, and I was doing my taxes, and I have the kids. It's been a rough week.
Yeah.
But good week. Was it Thursday? What day did I go to the doctor?
Thursday.
Thursday. It was a relief to know that it was not probably not COVID related.
Yeah, I'm stuck at work all day, and she's giving me like documentary videos of I'm sitting in the doctor's office in the little tent. And
it was
all
hilarious.
Her eyes, she's looking like in the camera video. She's like looking up as she's talking, like it's the end of the world. Like, okay, it's gonna happen. I might not make it out of here today, so just in case I don't.
I had fun with it. Trying to do. It was scary, so you want a little.
Well,
levity.
No, it was because you called me wondering whether or not we should do a remote from your house.
And there were definitely some very sick people at the urgent care. They were amazing. They kept everyone very separate. They were testing a lot of people, and I felt very safe there. Was not going to catch
it. Is this in Long Beach?
Yeah, it's in Long Beach, an urgent care in Long Beach, and they had everything outdoors if you had any COVID symptoms, and they made you wait in your car, and then the nurse would text you to come to the door, and then they'd walk you very carefully, and so I felt safe. Sean, let's get away from me now, damn it. And let's move on to you. Last time I ever tell you guys anything, I'm kidding.
Could always go to me.
We'll share more. We'll share more.
We'll share more. Yeah.
Okay. You're fine. We'll go to Zach. Zach, how?
No. I'm fine with being picked last.
You know what?
I'm
gonna
drink
my tea, and you guys bicker over this shit yourselves. Okay.
Zach, how about you? How was your week?
Well, I'm officially done with philosophy.
Yay! You didn't even have to use my books.
I didn't.
And I didn't get to follow along. I still want your syllabus.
I actually only read one book out of the entire. And I still. Well, hold on. Right now, I'm getting a 94%.
In philosophy?
Yes, but the final hasn't been graded yet.
Oh, Sophie.
So, well, hold on. Don't cut me short yet.
Okay. So, it could be a 93?
I could.
Okay.
No, it's worth 20 points, the final, Sean.
Oh.
Usually finals are like, you know, because they're called finals.
I know, it's been so long since I've been to college, sorry.
Well, All the notes that he gave us in the lectures, that was all he needed. If he just knew what he was talking about, that the books were pretty much the same exact thing.
Okay.
So I didn't really have to spend a fortune on books, which I normally do anyway. But the final was a little. This is the story. So my internet was down almost half the week, from like Monday till Wednesday. So I decided I forgot about that. So I decided to take the final on my computer, and I forgot about the Wi-Fi being out. But it still worked. So it's going like in and out, in and out. It's comprehension. So it's 5 questions. I had to type all the answers out. It took me almost a half an hour for almost each one. It was a 90-minute process, like 20 minutes. Anyway, I go to send it. I have it all done, and it says gateway cannot be found.
Oh, shit.
So everything
dun,
I just...
Dun, dun. Where's that sound effect? I just made it for us.
Well, I can only multitask so far. So long. gateway not found. So now everything I just did, it didn't even go through. Now I got to do this all over again. So I'm like, son of a bitch! I grabbed my phone, and I just... Luckily, everything was
Ryan
still...
Ryan Seacrest! God!
Exactly. And I just... Used my phone. I got everything in because I was just using my data. Sent it, and it's fine. And here we are Saturday. I'm still waiting for the results.
He didn't get it.
How hard is that?
Shut up.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Undo panic.
No, he got
I'm
it.
Sorry.
No, because it says on the app, on the Canvas app, that I submitted it.
When Zach, nobody can see this right now because you can only hear us. When Zach tells a story and he gets flustered, or it's a heated topic, his little nose gets red and his little cheeks get flushed. And now, since I mentioned it, he turned like bright.
He's shining through
he's
your
like
fingers.
A blushing bride.
Here's the thing with Zach.
That's why I wear sunglasses and a hat, because I'm trying to cover my face.
Keep that sunscreen on there, too.
See, the thing with Zach, though, is that he relives everything.
Yeah.
So it just, he gets himself flustered again. Yeah, in real time, exactly. And it just comes all rushing back to him again. So. But we love him, though. That's okay.
Well, either way, so this is how it's going to go. I got a 50-50 chance of finishing this class with an A, but I'm guaranteed a B no matter what.
Well, that's awesome.
I'll honestly say, kicking ass.
And I'll tell you what I tell my son. As long as you put in 100%, you know, of everything, then you deserve the grade that you deserve. Bottom line. And you've done that from the beginning, Zach. You put in 100% in every single time.
I did with the Spanish class.
Español.
With the freaking, I don't want to be, oh, forget it. The teacher.
You don't have a Korean lady teach you
no.
Spanish.
I'm sorry. Not trying to be racist. The lady could just.
That's a
it
whole
was
other
not,
story, though. That's a whole different
yeah.
story.
I mean, it's
see, look at he's turning red.
No, he's not. He's actually not red right now.
It's like someone who's Spanish teaching you, I don't know, Martian.
Martione.
Or Russian.
All right.
Okay, anyway, okay. So. What do we got?
All right. Should we do lockdown pick-me-ups then?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now,
baby, I'm trying to get out. Been washing my hands.
Never take it with a Korean teacher.
It gets worse every day that I turn on the news.
You said take it, right?
Never.
No, never.
I thought you said make it. Sorry.
Never not. That would be a difference.
I just love that quote. Never take it with a Korean teacher.
Never more. Never more.
All right. Well, here we go, guys. Some lockdown pick-me-ups. These are really cool. A gym teacher keeps the workouts going. According to the Chicago Tribune, a Downers Grove, Illinois gym teacher is doing his best to keep his students up and active while practicing social distancing. I cannot pronounce his last name, but Joe, the gym teacher, the athletic director at Avery Clooney School, shows up with his students and coworkers' homes and follows a routine that includes jokes, light conversation, and quick workouts for everyone to enjoy. So that's kind of cool. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Failed at that this year.
A unidentified customer leaves a stimulus check tip. So this was a little while ago. But an Arkansas steakhouse manager was in for a surprise after discovering an unidentified couple had left their stimulus check as a tip. According to the Daily Mail, after the couple picked up their order from the Colonial Steakhouse in Pine Bluff, a $1,200 tip was left in their wake.
Hmm. Wow.
That's a nice
tip.
That's
pretty awesome.
That's a good tip, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now, this is another a little bit older story here, but social media leader donates to LLC. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey took his platform to announce that he would be donating $1 billion of his Square equity. That's approximately 28% of his wealth to the LLC Start Small to fund global COVID-19 relief. After the pandemic has been disarmed, Dorsey announced that the funding would shift into helping girls' health and education. So that's like $1 billion, man.
Good.
Yeah. Damn, the dude's rich. Holy shit. Well. And that's only 28% of his wealth.
Mm-hmm.
What?
See, you gotta listen to the stories when I read them.
I did. No,
no,
I'm
you
just,
don't.
I was just thinking
you
about,
don't listen to me.
I was thinking about this a guy on Instagram.
See, you were thinking. You weren't listening.
You know, it's fine.
She was also thinking about a guy on Instagram.
This, I'm gonna tell my. This is my lockdown pick me up contribution. All right.
Oh boy.
So a guy in Inglewood, I think it was Inglewood, was doing DoorDash, and he lost his job. Shut up.
I'm not laughing. He is.
Laughing at
you. Why are you looking at
Steve? Why do you look at me?
I don't know. I don't know who it is.
Now that made me laugh.
What you bastards.
That, what was that voice you did?
Shush. Okay, so this dude is doing DoorDash. He lost his job during COVID, and he's trying to do everything he can to make ends meet.
Right.
He is literally taking the food to the guy's door, and a drive-by shooting happens.
Oh, shit.
And it was like, I mean, he got just barely... didn't get hit by bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And the person at the door doesn't even invite him in. They're like, oh, okay, thanks, bye, see ya, and like close the door. And the guy stands at the door like, oh, and he's on the security camera. And so that the and he stands there for a second and he waits and he's looking around like, oh my god, is there more bullets gonna happen? And then he runs to his car. And okay, moral of the story, a bunch of people started a GoFundMe page for him, and he's like, they've been donated a ton of money. He's doing real good.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
I was wondering where this was going. You know, like
that. I don't know.
I thought it was duck when bullets are flying or something. Like, to me, that's logical.
Well, he was just a really sweet guy. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, this poor dude.
Yeah.
He was so professional in the midst of a drive-by shooting.
That's dedication.
Here's
right there,
your food,
though.
Sir. Yeah, and he's really. Like ducking and checking on the app and stuff. Yeah.
Well, you may kind of a little bit expect that kind of thing if you're a cop or fireman, you know, people like that. But a pizza delivery guy?
DoorDash.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about getting shot.
Sorry, anyways,
sorry,
continue
there's a hole
on.
In your pizza, sir. It's Swiss cheese all of a sudden.
It's not what you think.
Well, a package delivery goes the extra mile. Carrie Blasi was over the moon after a kind-hearted FedEx worker. Hear that, UPS? A FedEx worker. Took an extra step to sanitize a package delivered to her home. Blasi has an 11-year-old daughter who has type 1 diabetes, so she posted a sign on her door that read, "Someone in this house has autoimmune disorder." After cleaning the box, the delivery man left a note stating that the box had been sanitized and told the family that it was safe to open.
Aww.
That's cool.
There are still good people out there.
And last one here is seniors can dance again. That's right. Elderly gym-goers use their weekly workout class and can dance again. According to the Baltimore Sun, one dance instructor is uploading dance workouts that senior center residents can follow in the comfort of their own homes to stay active and fit.
That's important.
So there you go. There's your lockdown pick-me-ups.
And fit what?
We're on lockdown, baby, and we're trying to get out. Been washing my hands about 24 times. It gets worse every day that I turn on the news. Stuck here singing those dang old lockdown blues.
Blues.
All right. Last week we talked about it, the great Carl Reiner.
Yes, the passing of Carl Reiner, yeah.
Yeah. This was a tough one here. Happy Endings, and this is dealing with Carl in his last performance. Happy endings are common in the movies, but are rare in real life. Sometimes they do happen, and sometimes they happen because of the movies. The only way to describe Carl Reiner's final curtain call. A fan film version of The Princess Bride is a charity project that was shot piece by piece by dozens of performers while they were stuck at home during quarantine. With Juno and Up in the Air director Jason Reitman coordinating and assembling the segments early in the footage, which concludes tomorrow on Quibi.
Oh yes, Quibi.
Okay, Rob Reiner himself, the director of the original 1987 film, appeared as the grandfather who narrates the tale of magic romance adventure to his little grandson, played in that segment by Josh Gad. After each scene, the characters all swapped with different actors. When Rob Reiner talked to Vanity Fair on June 25th, the day before the existence of the project was revealed, he was excited about Reitman's plan for the final sequence. "I don't know if you know this, but in the last one, my father is going to play the grandfather, and I'm going to play the grandson," Rob said. He was looking forward to working on it together with his father, even though the two were quarantined apart. He's doing good. I just talked to him a few minutes ago, Rob said. For a guy who's 98, he's doing all right. Just 4 days later, Carl Reiner passed away. Rob made the announcement on Twitter with this message. As I write this, my heart is hurting. He was my guiding light. Fans the world over grieved with him, but after a lifetime of making people laugh, it seemed to be appropriate that Carl would leave them with one last smile. 3 days before he died, he shot the footage and sent it to Reitman. You can watch the final performance here on, was it VanityFair.com? Intercut with Paul Rudd as the heroic Wesley. The only footage from the actual movie that the fan film uses is the good guys riding off. Wesley and Buttercup's history-making kiss. So let's go ahead and play that, please.
Have you ever considered piracy? You'd make a wonderful Dread Pirate Roberts.
They rode to freedom, and as dawn arose, Wesley and Buttercup knew they were safe. A wave of love swept over them, and as they reached for each other...
What? What?
it's kissing again. You don't want to hear it.
It's okay, I don't mind.
Okay. Since the invention of the kiss, there have been 5 kisses that were rated the most passionate, the most pure. This one left them all behind. Now I think you ought to go to sleep.
Okay.
Jenny. Okay, okay. All right. So long.
Grandpa? Can you come over tomorrow and read it again?
As you wish.
Aww.
Wow.
As fans of The Princess Bride probably realize, there's a hidden layer to this scene. The grandfather closes the book on the happiest of endings and says farewell. The grandson asks if he will come back again to read another one. As you wish, the grandfather says. Earlier in the telling of the story, the grandfather revealed the phrase, as you wish, is actually a secret code. Whenever the characters say it to each other, what they really mean is, I love you. Mm. Keep that in mind when you watch Carl's final line delivery again. I think the joy of the project as a whole has been watching professional performers at home have fun with the most comedic to the most serious, Reitman said. I'm a dad myself, and I can only imagine how thrilling it is to bring to life a scene from your child's movie, no matter what age you are. That's a, yeah.
Very sweet.
Very good. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think I said it last week, but, you know, Carl Reiner's death hit me the way Robin Williams did, you know. It just the fact that it hurts to see him go, and I hate to see the day when we lose Mel Brooks.
Oh, don't talk about it.
You know.
Talk about it. He already did.
Yeah.
Oh.
But if you want to see it again, you're going to have to go to, what is that website, though?
Vanity Fair?
Well, no, the other one.
Oh, it's like HWR.com or something.
Yeah.
I'll go back. It's not on YouTube?
No, it's not on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
But to see this scene or whatever, you can go to VanityFair.com or look up Carl Reiner's last performance on Google. The Quibi.
Quibi, the app Quibi, yes.
Q-U-I-B-I. And it is hysterical because I think a few weeks when I first read it, everybody was blowing up about how upset they were that they're going to remake the Princess Bride. It wasn't a remake as what we would think of a reboot or whatever. It was done for charity, and there's so many famous people in it. Jack Black even plays the Man in Black, and the scene that he's doing is the clips over Insanity as he's climbing up, and it's actually stairs is what they are. It's hysterical. So
I'm about to show this to the kids when I get home. This is JP's favorite movie.
Yeah, so go to Quibi, and you can see all the episodes there from all the different stars that they put together.
And by the way, Jason Reitman, who directed this little thing, he is the son of Ivan Reitman, who created the Ghostbusters franchise with Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, and he's directing the Ghostbusters movie that was supposed to come out this year. What is it called? Afterlife, which is technically going to be Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
It's not slimed again.
It should be, though.
Boy.
But there's one real funny one. I got to see part of it where I forgot who the actors are, but they use their corgi dog as one of the rodents of unusual size. And it is hysterical because the dog is just like licking them. They're going, no, 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 you know, and trying to act a whole thing. And the dog is just looking. It's hysterical. So go to Quibi. Check it out, though.
Awesome.
And so, yeah.
That's what I'm going to do today.
Mm-hmm. You sound so totally cool.
Yeah.
Tubular.
Absolutely. Tubular. All right. What do you guys got?
Let's see. We're going to go to Steve first. Steve?
Oh, it's me. Yes. That's why this paper's in front of me. Okay.
I almost stole your spot.
So much sadness this week. It's like, oh, my goodness. But we also lost some legends, as it were. Charlie Daniels, Devil Went Down to Georgia singer, famed fiddler and outspoken star, dies at 83. Now, he was born October 28, 1936, in Wilmington, North Carolina. Charles Edward Daniels grew up inspired by church music, local bluegrass. He listened to Nashville's WSM and WLAC, which streamed country and rhythm and blues music from all the way from Music City to Daniels' radio speaker in North Carolina. Now, Daniels merged those sounds in the 50s and created a rock band, the Jaguars, Fort Worth, Texas. It was for national distribution via Epic Records. Now, in Texas, he'd connect with producer Bob Johnson, who years later Daniels would credit with helping him find his way as songwriter and sought-after session player in Nashville.
Sorry.
Now, in 1964, Daniels and Johnson co-wrote It Hurts Me, a single cut by Elvis Presley that proved the first victory in decades of songwriting success to come. And upon its release, 79, The Devil Went Down to Georgia didn't just top the country chart. It became a huge pop crossover hit, climbing up to number 3 on the Billboard's Hot 100 chart behind The Knacks, My Sharona, and Earth, Wind, and Fire, After the Love Has Gone.
Do you remember when it came out?
Uh-huh.
Because I remember as a kid when I heard that song and the line of, you know, when he says, you son of a bitch, I'm the best that's ever been. I'm like, oh, my God, they cuss on the radio.
I know that song. I love that one. It's my favorite.
And I'm just like, wow, that's a dirty song.
They had another version where
I said the
you son of a gun. Yeah.
Fiddle.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the feelings you get in the song. If you listen to it and just go along with the story and the words and stuff, it's really amazing. And in fact, the song won Daniels' only Grammy Award in 1979 for Best Country Vocal Performance by a Duo or Group. And it gained even greater ubiquity 1 year later when Daniels and his band performed it in the 1980 film Urban Cowboy.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
the John Travolta one. My goodness.
So I don't know if you guys seen this. I saw this. Actually, this was like 2 days before Charlie
Daniels.
Why
are you pointing to me and making a face?
Passed away.
What was that?
Because this is hysterical.
Okay,
so this is a guy playing guitar with his washing machine.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and play it.
3, 4.
I love this.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, because he was way behind. He was wanting to make a deal. When he came across this young man, saw him on a fiddle and a plane and hot. And the devil shut upon him.
Don't you love weed?
I do.
But I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make the bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I'm gonna fiddle the gold against your soul, cause I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny.
Oh my gosh!
But I'll take your bet, you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best he's ever been. Johnny Ron, up your boy, and play a fiddle hard. Tell me who's in Georgia, and the devil's in the
that washing machine is now. I mean, it was worth nothing.
And now it's
like, can we please make ours? Now, can we make like our drum go out?
Here's the scary thing, though. Can you play it again, Zach?
Oh my
please,
goodness.
Oh my goodness, watch it again.
But look at how much the washing machine is denting out.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Where it's hitting.
It's popping out of the wall.
It's
like,
bumping out.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
If your washing machine is doing that.
Oh, I see it.
I wonder if we put a bowling ball in there or something.
The tub is out of balance. There.
Put it on spin with a bowling ball in it. We came across this young man, saw him
a fiddle and a plane and hot. John, give me your bass. I bet you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. It looks like it's pushing its tongue against its lips, you know.
it's alive.
Oh my God, so good.
All right. That's pretty funny.
I thought you guys would get a kick out of
it. Okay, I didn't watch it when you posted it, so I'm glad you made us watch it now.
All right. Now you got another one, right, Steve?
Oh, yes. We also lost.
Oh, man.
There are several movie, like one bar of music that you hear that and you know what it is.
Such as, like.
We were just talking about him.
Everybody knows this. Well, Ennio Morricone.
Wait, what?
Morricone.
That's the godfather to you.
Morricone. Prolific Italian composer for the movies.
Try to say it right.
Dies at 91. Well, that's pretty good.
That's
making that far. So he won Oscars for haunting inventive scores and a bunch of simmering dialogue-free tension in spaghetti westerns.
I was going to say that spaghetti western sound right there.
If you turn the sound off and watch things like For a Few Dollars More, you're going, holy
crap. Hell?
So anyway, he died Monday in Rome following complications from a fall last week in which he broke his femur.
Oh, no. Ooh.
Probably got infected in 91.
Yeah.
That's it.
Surprised they haven't tried to remake this movie yet.
Yeah, really.
I'm kind of glad they didn't.
Anyway, a native in
Loughlin
resident.
Loughlin?
Lifelong, maybe. I'll go with lifelong. Yeah.
Here, hold on.
Yeah, because a native and lifelong resident of the Eternal City, whose first instrument was the trumpet, Morricone, won his Oscar for his work on Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight and also was nominated for his original scores for Terek Malik's Days of Heaven, Roland Joffe's The Mission, Brian De Palma's The Untouchables, Barry Levinson's Bugsy, and Giuseppe Tornatore's Malena.
So,
he was known as the maestro and received an honorary Oscar in 2007, which was presented by Clint Eastwood, of course, for his magnificent and multifaceted contributions to the art of film and music. And he collected 11 David D. Donatello Awards, Italy's highest film honors. His ripe, pulsating sounds enriched Leone's low-budget shoot-em-ups, A Fistful of Dollars, For a Few Dollars More, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, those three-starred Clint Eastwood, Once Upon a Time in the West, and Duck, You Sucker.
All right.
So,
Italian is your strong suit, I'm going to go ahead and say there.
I like the way he reads that.
Take a look at this picture of Clint Eastwood here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take a look at the picture. And now here's a picture of our friend, Blair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He needs a poncho.
He was born in the wrong time for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely was. That's how I remember Blair.
Some of the coolest headshots I've ever seen were Blair's.
Yeah.
He has some that were his Western, some he's semi-Western and stuff like that.
Sometimes it was country.
Took great, great.
Reach for the sky.
Yeah.
Character headshots.
Yeah. Yeah, he was perfect for that. So, anyway. All right.
Awesome.
Cool. So, you got something, though.
I got something. Pick me up. Funny. Because we keep talking about death, and it's making
people
me sad.
People dying.
I pick you up and throw you all the time.
We're not going
to. I think
crack
that's
my
funny.
Back. Okay, so.
I do that, too.
Let's cheer everything up a little bit. All right. I've got things that you don't know the purpose of. And I was reading through this, and I was actually surprised. All right. Number one. That little tiny pocket in your jeans on the right side. Okay.
That's the big one.
That's the big one, and that's the little one. So in a grown man's pair of jeans, grown yes. man's, yes. it would have been, it was designed for a pocket watch.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, in my little small jeans as a child, my grandpa would say, that's where you put your pennies.
Yeah.
That's what he'd tell me.
Now, do you know why it was designed for the pocket watch, though?
Because people carried pocket watches around?
A lot of miners would use jeans or Levi's
yeah,
back then.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So instead of putting it in their vest because they were down in the mines, mm-hmm. then that pocket was invented to put their pocket watch in. Because
it's hard to put a wristwatch around the waist.
They learned something new. All right, next is that little hole. Okay. Thank you, Zach. All right. Let me start with
that one was actually good timing.
The next one is that little hole in the cap of your ballpoint pen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do you know? And I was like, I thought it was a whistle. Because growing up, we used to go, like, we'd whistle through it. No, oh, yeah. That's actually, and this is probably why, because we whistle through it. It serves as a safety feature in case a baby or child swallows the cap uh-huh. and air can pass through.
Oh, there yep. will be airflow.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, so the little holes in the windows of airplanes. This, I did not know. The first reason is to compensate for air pressure. I know that. But when the plane climbs to cruising altitude, there's a huge pressure difference between the inside and the outside of the plane. The hole is there to regulate some of that difference so that the outer window doesn't have to do all the work and just bust in on you. Also, the other reason is to prevent fogging.
This is your captain speaking. If you look over to the left side of the plane, you will see the Grand Canyon.
And the tiny hole that is keeping us alive.
And if you look to the left, you'll see Steve, who's panicking for no reason.
I think Steve likes to fight. All right, so next we've got the little holes in your Converse All Stars.
What is this little holes?
You know, because you're like, why is this hole here? Because
she's like 4'8".
Don't you agree?
Damn it. I am 5 foot, and don't you forget that shit. All right,
you're 4'9", and you know it.
I'm not.
Thick socks on.
Heels.
Depends on which grocery store she's leaving.
Shut up. All right, so little holes in the Converse All Stars. The main reason they're there is shut up. Shut up. Ventilation. God, I can't even get through anything with these jerks.
What I'm laughing at? Little holes.
Ventilation. Oh my gosh. But some people think that because I can't even. Everything turns like dirty that. With these guys.
Everything is dirty.
Ventilation for your if you're playing basketball and the laces could be looped and through that extra hole for a snugger fit if you're. Oh, my God, you guys.
Look, for the record, I didn't start this. I've gotten to this point.
I'm going
to
skip. There's like 10 other little hole ones. I'm going to skip them.
No, okay. So the hole in the Converse.
We'll have to.
Okay, I was listening.
Yes, the hole in the Converse is for ventilation. And if you have long shoelaces and you need to cinch them a little tighter, you can go there.
But I wonder how you would cinch them, though, because you have the ones on the top and you have them on the sides.
I'm literally lightheaded with anger at all of them.
Lightheaded? With anger.
Yes.
All right.
What's
the next one?
Sorry? Livid. Okay. The next one is not a little hole thing.
It's a big hole?
No.
Uh-oh. We have to go back and listen to that and see how many times she says little holes.
Okay. This one is good. This is like last week, that video we watched. The arrow next to your gas gauge. Oh. Listen up.
Oh, I know what that's for.
What is it for?
It tells you what side...
The passenger is sitting on.
No.
Your hole is?
No, it tells you what side that your door for your gas can, gas tank is on, basically.
Yes. So that little arrow points to where you want to have the tank, filling, the, what do you call it, pump.
Now, some cars are not doing it anymore, but what they do tell you, though, is that whatever side the handle of the pump is, so if it's on the right side as you look at the picture, it tells you that's where the gas tank is.
Interesting.
Versus if it's on this side, on the left side, then you know it's on the driver's side.
I'm going to skip these hole ones and go.
No. Come on. Talk to us about your holes.
Shut up.
We want to hear about your holes.
Oh, my God.
The more holes, the better.
Incorrigible. The hole in the handle of your pot.
That's called the belly button.
The hole, you know, in your pot, when you're cooking, that little hole in the pot is useful for more than one reason. Oh, my God.
Am I right?
No, I'm listening.
Okay, the main reason for that hole is there is for hanging it.
Yes.
And then to set down messy cooking spoons on it.
Yeah, you put your spoon or whatever, and that way anything that drips, it's at an angle, and it holds it in there, and it drips into the pot. No, there's more.
No, I have another page now. Oh, and, okay. Of course, it's a fucking hole. The hole in your pasta.
Oh, that kind of hole.
The hole in your... Oh, my gosh.
I thought you were kidding at first. Oh,
the
my.
Hole
oh,
in
okay.
your pasta spoon, or, you know, the wooden spoon, or the plastic spoon, or the, you know.
Oh, I know.
The hole's primarily purpose, to strain the pasta to mm-hmm. let the water drain uh-huh. out. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then the hole is just about the size of a person's portion
yeah.
of spaghetti.
Yes, for one portion.
Mm-hmm. All right, the extra piece of fabric that comes with new clothes.
That's
for
a patch.
That's for a patch. We're moving on.
No, it's not.
What's it for? Wrong! The manufacturer includes that little sample material so you can test things on it.
Yeah,
test the garment on your skin.
Test the detergent.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Yeah. See, you're learning something.
All right, on to the next hole. God damn it. Every can of soda comes with a tab at the top for easy opening. Every mm-hmm. single one of them has a fairly large hole in the top.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that properly. A fairly large what?
Moving on. Although this hole does seem to make it easier to get your finger wedged beneath the tab, oh my god! Its intended purpose is actually to serve as a placeholder.
You sure?
For your straw.
That's right. You turn it around.
Yes, you spin the tab around, and bam!
Bam!
There it is.
In the hole.
Oh my gosh.
The placeholder.
I'm glad that the next one is not
a hole.
About yes. a hole.
But could you read it as a hole?
No, you can't. Chinese takeout containers. This is our final one, and we're moving on from this.
Don't they have vents?
Chinese food takeout boxes are folded in such a way that when you unfold them, they become the perfect sized cardboard dinner plates.
I did not know that.
Me either. The best part, your food is already on the plate.
Yeah.
What?
Bam.
What?
No holes.
I'm tearing this one up. Damn you. What? You gave me that on purpose. I know when Sean's punking me.
No. Here's the thing, though.
What is it?
I understand that there's a lot of holes there in the story that you read. But the thing is that you added the adjectives of little, big.
Which, I didn't. It was on the list. Yes.
Look at Steve.
Steve is bright red now too.
Steve's gonna have a heart attack.
Oh my god.
Sean doesn't turn. Zach is bright red.
I'm always
Steve
red.
Steve is bright red. Sean is not because he's just constantly a pervert.
No, it's because he's Hispanic and he's brown.
Well, that too. Oh, he's a POC.
Yeah. What's that?
Person of color.
Oh, person of holes.
What?
I don't know. Okay, it's done.
That's
I killed it.
We call it a whole person.
My face, my jaw hurts now from laughing.
Good. It's killing me.
And my anger. I'm angry. And of course, my new story that we have to read later is going to just tip all this off even more. Thank you. Thank
get
you, Sean.
Nothing. You okay. lose. Good day, sir.
All right. Should we turn into our new soap opera?
Let's turn.
Is it on? What time is it?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's on.
Yeah, hold on. It should be on.
History began on July 4th, 1776.
God, this TV is really riggedy.
Oh, that was. Wait a minute. Go back. That was.
No, I know. We're on a time schedule here. I'm finding it. It's 2020, for Pete's sakes.
Chubbies going back to the 1970s.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Neanderthals, the only reality TV show that has been discovered where a Neanderthal family was followed during their day-to-day adventures. Last week on the Clunks, we were looking for some food. They discovered a berry tree that took them on a most tubular trip. Took them. Who wrote this? Today we find the Clark family recovering from the berries when a strange sound begins to appear in the distance.
Oh,
Folks, it looks like the lightning strike has started a fire. Please join us next week when the Clunks discover music and open the first dinner theater, and maybe Grandma will know her lines a little better.
Thank you.
Be sure to join us next time on the brand new show that's sweeping the nation, The Clunks. Cheers.
That sounded like the fourth chipmunk that never got to perform.
I don't know. After okay. doing all those grunts, my throat was play like,
the,
no.
Play the school part, though. Right. I love this.
That's actually what squirrels sound
like. It sounds when you pop their head off.
Oh, yeah.
So good. Love that part. All right.
Squirrel bacon.
Squirrel bacon. Whoops. That's...
Never had squirrel before.
Well, we haven't done this for a while, so let's do what's news real quick.
What's news? What's a cat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What's
news? What's a cat?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right. I'm going to go first, and of course, I'd like to abuse me. So.
Now we're over it.
Nurse who only wore underwear under her transparent PPE gown on all male hospital ward in Russia, the mother Russia, because she was too hot, is disciplined. What? What? A nurse on an all male coronavirus ward in Russia.
You've got to get
has been
here,
disciplined for only wearing lingerie beneath her. I went first. Her transparent protective gown. Okay, stop. Oh my gosh. Her revealing picture went viral after being taken by a patient at the hospital, a very happy patient probably, in Tula, 100 miles south of Moscow, who said there were no complaints from all of the bedfellows.
Tetris music, not a Russian.
But the hot.
Have you seen the title screen? It's Russian.
But hospital chiefs were not amused and punished the nurse for non-compliance with the requirements for medical clothing. The unnamed medic in her 20s said she was too hot wearing her nurse's uniform under the gown. She told her managers at Tulsa Regional Clinic, Clinical Hospital, Oh, Tula. Sorry, Tulsa. What was that?
Tula.
Tula. Regional hospital she did not release the PPE she wore. Realize the PPE she wore when treating coronavirus patient was so transparent. So she got in trouble. I'm going to leave it at that. The male dude, they was happy. The staff
enjoyed the trouble.
Only part of the staff were happy. So she got disciplined, and too bad we had to dig this picture up here.
Yeah.
Steve. Okay, Zoom fail.
We're used to that.
Everybody kind of think to themselves, what would be the most distracting thing that could happen during a meeting? Well, this was this was way beyond what you're going to imagine. With more people working at home and using conference apps like Zoom,
God, we need to take a grammar class.
More and more stories of happy little accidents. Now, one of the latest mistakes could be the mother of them all. Some poor guy was actually caught masturbating on Zoom by his colleagues, and the video has gone viral in an instant.
What?
Yeah, the video shows people discussing important business matters, consumer spending in particular, when one of the men in the the call, Daniel Martinez, gets lost in a world of his own. He moves to turn the camera off, but doesn't realize it's still on. Everyone can still see exactly what he's doing.
Oh my gosh! Did he think that he had turned off his?
I would think so. Yeah.
He was distracted. Apparently, he got up and grabbed tissues and a bottle of lubricant. At this point, might be coming up. Everyone is visually shocked and tries to stop him, but they can't hear them. One commentator put it, Daniel can't hear you guys again. He's in heaven. So there are...
That's too good.
Yeah, wonder how long people watched.
How many people were in the meeting?
That sounds like
what was his position in the company? I'm curious.
There's a surprising amount of stories of this kind of thing happening. Another incident saw a young woman going to the bathroom during the video call, and her webcam was still streaming. Just last month, at least 10 people saw everything the man had to offer, including Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro. Okay. The incident happened during a virtual meeting organized by Paulo Scoff, the president of the Federation of Industries of the State of Sao Paulo. At least that guy can brag that the president of Brazil has seen him naked.
Wow.
All righty.
How do you top that, Sean?
Well, some people like to play with it. Other people like self-deprecation with it. Yeah, there's a gun that was used to rob a far south side hot dog stand misfires, hitting the robber in his penis.
What?
Ow.
Wait, what?
He hit his small hole.
Remember earlier when you were doing that?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember, it's this part
that.
Just this
part. Okay, so a robber was in the process of robbing a hot dog stand in the far south side of Chicago when he discharged his weapon on himself.
This is the smuttiest show he possibly.
Good heavens.
Oh, we can get worse. He thought he was going in for some quick cash. The suspect entered a restaurant with a loaded firearm, looking to score easy money and maybe...
Everything's a double entendre.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe some free food. Mm. This took place at the hot dog stand on the restaurant area, Maxwell Street Express. The Chicago Sun-Times identified the culprit as Taryn Pouncey.
What? Is this even real?
Taryn Pouncey, age 19.
Yeah.
The teen approached the hot dog stand and demanded cash. When he went to adjust the .38 pistol he had brought along, he shot himself not once, but twice.
Oh, my
God.
Once to his penis and once to his leg.
Oh, my goodness.
Pouncey faced up to two counts of robbery for taking items
from the two employees at the hot dog stand. These include their cell phones, their wallets. He also managed to steal some of the cash from the businesses. Too bad he had medical bills and court fees to cover.
So wait, he still took shit.
Well, he took it or whatever, but I guess on his way out, he was adjusting the gun. And that's when the gun went off. See, that's why I like...
Prematurely. You forgot to say prematurely.
Karma is a bitch.
That's why when I buy guns or anything, it's always the old Western ones because they're single action. Screw the double action because you pull the trigger.
Number one in gun safety, you keep your safety on. You never put your finger on the trigger.
Yeah, true. You know, those single action, you have to cock them.
Yes, you
do.
Oh,
my gosh.
Cock it back, then fire. Cock and fire. Cock and fire.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're going to lose. We're going to, lose listeners, but possibly gain. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, with those laughs, we're going to lose listeners. I'll tell you that right now.
But Beavis and Butthead, I don't know. All right.
So there you go. So that's what's news.
All right.
What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Let's play the game!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the new game show that will literally make your head explode for real, Quiz Me! Quiz You!
Cool question number one.
Right into it.
I don't have time to dick around.
No one's made a basket yet. With their...
Hey, at least I'm consistent, though. It's all on the right side.
That's true.
Players, are you ready?
You want to adjust a little to the left?
Sure.
Oh, my goodness.
A little to the left. That's
all right, number one.
Which show holds the record for being the longest-running American science fiction television program?
Oh.
Steve.
Steve.
Longest-running. Star Trek.
I was going to say Star
Trek. No.
Sean.
Sean.
Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, come on.
Damn it. Because that ran longer than the original Star Trek.
Science fiction, longest
run. Hint, it is not Star Trek related at all.
Is it, it's a drama? Is it more dramatic?
I guess a little bit, yeah.
Well, there's so many, like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
no, Steve's on the right track so far.
Or Lost in Space.
No, it's still...
Lost Saucer.
No.
I don't know. I am clueless on
this.
Gosh,
what would it be? I don't...
The answer is Stargate SG-1.
Really? I never watched that, so...
I don't like this question. Strike it from the record. Start over again.
And that's based upon a movie of the same name.
Stargate.
That starred Kurt Russell. Yeah.
Yeah. It says it ran for 10 years from 97 to 2007 and ended at a record for the American science fiction with 214 episodes. Question number two.
Wow. I'm okay not missing that. I'm okay missing
All right.
That.
Let's do a quick one because Sean will get it. Sean.
Yeah.
What year did The Dark Knight come out?
Oh, The Dark Knight, is it? Well, you need a good flashlight if you're going to have a dark night.
2007? Shoot.
I remember a dark night years ago where I looked up and said...
Zach, is it...
Oh, my God, it's dark.
Well, all of that is incorrect.
Amber, I'm gonna
Amber.
2010. Too high? Damn it! I'm done with this one now.
See, Dark Knight, that had to be, 2012?
No, that was The Dark Knight Rises.
Ah, so that means it should have been 2010.
Amber said that.
Oh, 2011. It was that long of a gap between them?
2012.
The answer is 2008.
We went in the wrong direction.
It was 4 years.
I remember JP was
The
a
Dark
baby.
Knight was released in 2008, 3 years after its predecessor, Batman Begins. Question number three.
Wow, I didn't realize there was that big of a gap between the movies, though.
Would eight from three from eight is five. Just saying.
Don't. You're gonna math too hard. Yeah. Just all right. Take it easy.
Next one. Go ahead, buddy.
Jesus. What is Jimi Hendrix's real name?
Oh, shit. Man, I just...
That is incorrect.
Steve.
Steve.
Daryl Waltrip.
Not even close, sir.
Oh, God. Sean.
John.
The guy with the fro.
I thought it was Terrence or Clarence, but I don't know if that's right.
Oh, God. Boy, we're sucking on this one.
This is lame.
All right, what is it?
James Marshall Hendricks.
James Marshall. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Why did I put this Just move on.
Question number. What am I on? Four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
One.
What are the three primary colors?
Steve.
Steve?
Oh my gosh. Blue. Red. Now, there's a division here because it could be one of two colors depending on, but usually people say the primary colors is red, blue, and green.
No. There's the case.
What?
So,
yellow.
That is correct, Amber.
Now, in a TV tube, and like when you're half, and in screens, it's red, blue, and green.
Green, yeah.
Anyway, that is correct, Amber.
Anyways.
Which is funny because green is not a primary color.
It is not.
You have to mix yellow and blue to get green.
Right.
Question number five.
You don't say, kindergarten.
This is for Amber. This is actually a double entendre.
Oh, boy.
The darkness just have to do with
holes.
Darker.
Amber, how many holes?
She'll know this one.
Are there in a full round of golf?
There are 18.
I knew it. How did you know?
Because I love me some golf.
And some holes.
She's been some every hole.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. People are going to think I'm an absolute pervert.
You know, we've been pretty.
You guys are.
We've been pretty PG with everything, to tell you the truth.
Not.
Yes, we have.
Amber loves her holes.
Yes,
Question
number five.
Last week it was fingers, now it's holes. This is off the rails.
Put the two together.
Well, that's true.
We got a party.
Gosh. Her favorite scene in Tin Cup, the golf movie, was when he tried for the hole 12 times.
Oh, my gosh. I'm never going to get a date again. No one's going to date me. I'm screwed. Not in a good way. Damn it. Just move on.
Not with that coffee you're drinking.
Oh, my gosh.
This happens to be tea. I'm switched to... Shut up.
It's cough tea.
All right. I'm going to change this around to make this a little easier.
All right.
All right. So... Buckner and Garcia, musical group from Ohio, came out with a number of songs about video games. Which one are they best known for making in 1982?
Sean.
Pac-Man
Fever.
That is correct.
What the hell?
That was very good.
I have that album.
Selling over 1 million copies and reaching number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100.
What planet are you on right now?
Have you never heard this song?
No.
All right, Zach, we'll look it up later.
No, I don't want to. I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, no, it's
I
so
gotta
good.
Go home.
It's so good.
I'm okay
Amber.
Without it.
It's so good.
You don't have to go home. You know
I
it.
Do. I have to go to an oil change. Home. Move on. Go, quick.
Is that what you call it?
Shut up. I actually have to go to Valvoline and some oil and get an oil change.
In her hole.
In her
no!
hole.
No, God! I'm leaving! Yeah!
They have to take a little plug out of the hole first.
Oh, my... Okay, move on. Just go. Stop it. Stop it. Go.
Which company received a major backlash for changing its traditional something...
Steve. Coca-Cola.
That is correct.
What?
Yes, in the mid-1980s.
You guys, it was really nice
was
to be listening. I'm leaving now. Bye. See you.
Question
See you.
Number seven.
There was a big hole in that campaign.
Oh.
What is the name of the woman Mario is attempting to save
Steve.
From the giant...
Oh.
Steve?
Princess Peach.
No.
What?
No. You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
Attempting to save from the giant ape in the original Donkey Kong.
Oh.
Would you like to say your name?
Sean.
Sean.
Princess.
You're halfway there.
Does she have a green dress on? No,
I know it's not Karen.
No.
She has a yellow dress on.
It should be, though.
Pauline.
My goodness, that is correct.
Yay!
Though Princess Peach has come to be known as Mario's primary love interest, her first appearance, he risked his life and limb to save Pauline from Donkey Kong.
I think it's all a big hoax.
The original Donkey Kong. Oh, God, my mom loved to play that game.
The barrels jumping over
yeah,
the barrels.
Yeah, she loved it, yeah.
Hi to her. Where is she? Is she listening today?
Betty? Yeah, I'm probably listening.
Miss Betty, hi, I love you.
Hey, Betty.
Let's go to the Queen Mary, Miss Betty.
In what river did John the Baptist conduct his baptism?
Steve.
Steve.
River Jordan.
That is correct.
Good job.
Yeah.
Question number 9. Let's wrap this up. Who plays Fat Amy?
Oh, Amber.
Amber.
Rebel Wilson.
That is correct.
I love her.
Oh.
She's a genius. She's like an attorney, and she has like several law degrees in different countries. She's amazing.
Really?
Yes. She's incredible.
Huh. Question number 9.
I forgot. Oh, I just saw a thing with her with Kevin Hart, and apparently she also she has a black belt or whatever in karate.
No way.
That's super interesting. Okay. What blood type do you need to be a universal donor? Amber.
Oh, negative.
My goodness, it is just that easy, isn't it?
I'm O positive. I wanted to be. I was so sad that I was O pos. I wanted to be O neg. It's universal. O-neg. They call it fetus blood. Because a baby can have it.
Right.
Babies cannot have anything with a positive RH.
Okay, right. Question
or
number 10.
AB. Woo! I'm doing better. I'm glad I stayed.
See, we need you.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
In what year did Nintendo release its very first console in North America?
Steve. 1982.
Amber? 1987?
Sean?
Before that?
Wait, Steve, you said 82?
And then Amber said 87.
Is it between there? Is it betwixt?
I think it's going to be between. I'm going to say 85.
That is correct.
Okay.
Very, very good. John is probably the winner, but yeah. who keeps track?
Wait. Hold on. We got to play that Pac-Man Fever thing.
Oh, okay.
Look it up real quick.
Oh, God.
That was 10?
Yeah, that was 10.
Yeah, that was 10.
Went by quick, didn't it?
Did.
Where were you at? Were you here?
Good
original
heavens.
Pac-Man
yeah,
Fever?
Yeah.
All right. Whoop. And then, after the ad.
We might get an email of somebody saying, you guys only asked 7 questions.
Oh, come on, ads.
Really? I hate these things.
It's like a 6 win.
We're watching a green
wow,
screen.
I just got an alert on my phone.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry.
A Pac-Man alert?
Why don't we have this be the song we play out? Full of quarters and I'm headed to
the arcade. What? Mm-mm. The actual. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm bringing everything I need. I got a callus on my finger and my shoulder's hurting too. I'm gonna eat them all up just as soon as they turn blue. Cause I got
never heard this, Amber.
I'm okay with never having heard this.
There was a whole album that these guys did, and every song was about a video game, like Defender, Berserk, just all the different ones, whatever.
Wow.
I have it.
Wow. Of course you do.
I have it.
Of course you do.
So, all right.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I gotta get my bass.
So, there's a heat wave. I just got an alert. One of the highest record-smashing heat waves is coming to the United States. Well, it's already here. It's rising up and moving east. So the poor East Coast has had flooding and lots of rain, and now they're going to get a massive, crazy heat wave. We're in a heat wave.
Beautiful, man.
Mute it.
I hope everybody has AC.
All right, there you go.
The air conditioning.
Yeah.
Do you have AC, Steve?
I do.
Oh. They do, but it's not up to me where it's at any particular moment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have lots of fans.
That's good. It's going to be hot. It's going to be a hot one.
Yeah.
Four notes, people.
So, Amber, would you like to plug yourself?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, might as well. All right.
Oh, my God. Nobody wants to follow me anymore. You guys ruined it. Nobody likes me anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. I'll start it off.
Go
I'll
for it.
Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, you can follow us at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You're going to follow me, Steve, on Facebook. It's Steve Silva. And on Twitter, it's at SilvaLining69.
Of course it is. And now I have to go after this one, right? So you can follow me if you want to. You don't have to. It's okay.
Do it anyway.
On the Facebook and on the Instagrams, Amber Ash McCary.
And I'm at Zombie Mel Gibson on Instagram. I have Twitter, but I don't really use it. But it's the same name if you want to see what I don't have up there. So.
My favorite part.
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know. Just enjoying it. I'm just happy to be here.
This is one of my crank-up songs I hear on K-Rock when I lived up in Diamond Bar.
And you guys want to follow me, Sean and Simple, on all the media. It's simply Sean Roberts, HC. So in the meantime, guys, go out there, enjoy yourselves. Please wear your mask. I've been seeing way too many people out there. Just cover their mouth and not your nose. The mask needs to cover both, guys.
Yes.
So please be careful out there. Wear your mask properly.
And stay cool in this heat wave that's going to happen.
Stay
here.
Cool. And also try and be calm out there with each other, too. I've seen too many things out there.
Be a good human.
Absolutely.
For Christ's sake. Come on.
Yeah. Be good to each other, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Be loving, world.
Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who miss the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.